From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Seth Messages. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening on South Padre Island in Texas. People filling sandbags and loading them into cars and vans to take to protect exposed homes and businesses. Others in the forecast path of Hurricane Harvey sought out generators, plywood, and other goods from hardware stores. Meanwhile, rice farmers in coastal counties move quickly to harvest their crops as well. They are expecting possibly 30 inches of rain when that hits. Haven't had a hurricane in a long time. Let's keep our fingers crossed that this dissipates and dissipates pretty quickly. The U.S. Navy has suspended its search and rescue operations for 9 missing sailors after the collision between the U.S. destroyer John S. McCain and an oil tanker near Singapore. Navy divers recovered the remains of one sailor, a 22-year-old, from New Jersey. They identified 9 others as missing. Sad story there. 78% of full-time workers said they live paycheck to paycheck, and up to 75% from last year. Overall, 71% of U.S. workers said they're now in debt, up to 68% from a year ago. That's not good. Sears Holdings said it would close another 28 Kmart locations as it continues its cost-cutting campaign, and its decline in the department store sector is really concerning them. Catherine Austin Fitz, of course, registered investment advisor. Catherine, the economy's getting smacked around by Amazon and companies like that, isn't it?
Well, there are two things going on, George. One is the biggest investment every American makes every year is to pay their taxes to the federal government.
That's right.
And if you look at the federal government policies since 1995, they've basically been to drain our money. So you've had over $18 trillion go missing to the federal government. So every year, you give the government a financial statement, and by law, the government's supposed to give one back, but it doesn't, and money's disappearing. So you're basically financing an operation that's debasing your money, debasing your health, debasing your food. And, you know, you're paying somebody who's centralizing control and eroding your property rights. And as long as you do that, things are going to get worse. Now, for Amazon and Sears, part of that is just technology. So technology is not what's creating the inequality or the debasement, but technology is, there's no doubt that you're increasing dramatically the productivity of the delivery of retail goods, and that's going to squeeze the number of jobs in the sectors. And that, to me, that's just progress marching on.
They said that housing, the new home sales slowed down in July. Is that a big factor here? Should we be concerned about that?
I think you have to see what's going to happen in August. But I do think there are many different signals that say recession is coming. And so, you know, we've had a strong up cycle. But again, here's the reality. I keep posting a new commentary at Salary.com called DOD and HUD Missing Money Supporting Documentation, because we now have over $18 trillion of undocumentable adjustments at just DOD and HUD alone. That's not counting the other government agencies. And the reality is the federal government is running a criminal enterprise. I told you the story of going to see an appropriate staffer to the chairman of the HUD Appropriation Committee. And they said to me, what do you think's going on in HUD? I said, I don't know. What do you think's going on in HUD? And they said, HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise. We can't all spend a fortune in taxes every year, send it to a government, and have that government be run as a financially unaccountable operation and think things are going to come out all right.
Good point. Catherine, thank you so much. Catherine Austin Fitz's website, Salary.com, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. A second round of mandatory testing for students and staff at the George Bush High School in Texas identified 10 new cases of tuberculosis, bringing the total number of cases discovered since May to 24. While the first 4 patients had active TB, the 20 others seemed to be symptom-free. That's still not good. What else is going on these days? Let's check to the skies with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter, what's going on these days?
Well, good evening, George. There's a lot going on, and I guess I should start with the great solar eclipse of 2017. Many people had assured me that all sorts of dire events were going to occur, and that UFOs were going to be seen everywhere across this country, but so far we haven't seen that happen. So last week I think I reported on all the interesting reports during the Perseid meteor shower, but I guess solar eclipses are something different. I'd like to start with a report submitted just last night by a member of the U.S. military, a gentleman who identifies himself at least as having been an Army scout, possibly that means a ranger, for the last 3 years. On the 22nd of July, he writes, he was manning a 50 caliber machine gun on a Stryker vehicle in Poland, and I know I'm going to butcher the name of it, but I think it's pronounced Bemowpiskie, Poland. And he was awaiting orders to support a live fire training exercise in that area of Poland. As he was waiting for the orders to come in over the radio, he was adjusting his night vision device affixed to his helmet, and to his great amazement, he saw a very large ball of light. He estimated it was 700 meters in front of him, and he couldn't figure out what it was, so he turned off his night vision device, expecting to be able to look at it with his normal vision, and interestingly, and to his great surprise, he could not see the object. As he was watching it, it descended into the forest where the night exercise was taking place, and at that point, a second one appeared. It's a very intricate, very nicely prepared report, and I'd encourage anybody who's interested in military exercises and UFOs to take a look at it, again, for the 22nd of July, 2017. The next report is a little closer to home and a little more recent.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, Staten Island, just south of Manhattan, tip of Manhattan, on the 18th of August, I think that was a Friday night, just a week ago or less, a gentleman was walking outside admiring the beautiful night sky except for a very intense lightning storm. He saw a very peculiarly shaped object streaking across the night sky. It was moving so fast he ruled out any possibility of aircraft or drone or weather balloon or any other explanation. Very interesting report, and I cite it principally because what was seen near Queens, New York the next morning, three adults out walking and they saw an egg-shaped object pacing a jet airliner in the vicinity of Kennedy Airport, JFK. I encourage any listeners who are interested in aviation issues to take a look at that report again for the 19th of August, 2017. We just updated our website.
Perfect.
There are about 103 more equally interesting reports posted to our website, George.
You got it. Peter, thank you. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Up next, pharmacist Ben joining us to give us some health tips. You can start now by going to the website, criticalhealthnews.com, criticalhealthnews.com, and here's a phone number to call to talk to a human being to give you some assistance. This is not to get on the show, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, pharmacist Ben Fuchs on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Over the course of a month to 2 months, we have Doc Wallach on, pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and Dr. Joanne Conaway on, and this is Ben's turn. Ben is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist, has been compounding custom medications, formulating nutritional and skincare products, and consulting with doctors and patients since graduating from the University of Colorado School of Pharmacy back in 1986. He is an accomplished speaker, and for the past 22-plus years, he's been lecturing nationwide on the importance of the strategic use of nutritional supplementation. And here he is back on Coast to Coast from criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, always a pleasure. It's been a while. How are you, sir?
Yes, it's been a while. Nice to talk to you again, George. Thanks for having me on. It's always an honor and it's always a pleasure.
It's time to help people, and you're one of the best.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
What's been going on in your world?
Well, I just got back from the convention, the Longevity Convention. That was an amazing time. When I started with the company, there was like 1,000 people, the whole company. At this convention alone, there were 3,000 people. And the reason it keeps growing like this, George, is because what Dr. Wallach has been talking about for 30-plus years, plus the products that we talk about on this program that we write about on criticalhealthnews.com, they work. It's definitive across the board. The people who lose, the number of people that I talk to who lose weight, who get off their medications, I talk to people who are in walkers and who are not in walkers, all through understanding the strategies and the techniques that Dr. Wallach talks about, as well as using the products. And that is, to me, this is the Lord's work. And this is, I wouldn't do anything but this. If I could choose what I could do, George, I do choose what I could do, but I could choose what I did ahead of time, this is exactly what I would do. Helping people understand how to use and how to leverage ideas and products to help to get back to their God-given state of health. We're supposed to be healthy, George. We couldn't have made it through the millions of years of evolution if our body didn't know how to resist disease, if our body didn't know how to repair breaks, if our body didn't have a self-healing mechanism built into it, we wouldn't exist. We wouldn't have made it. And I'll tell you what, George, there's a good chance that we might not make it if we keep going on the road we're on. I mean, I'm exaggerating. I don't think that's going to happen, but it looks pretty dire out there. I mean, there are some, the amount of suffering, needless suffering that is out there from a physical health perspective, not to mention an emotional, psychic perspective, is just, it's heartbreaking. You know, I talked to a guy on Saturday who had cancer throughout his body, and the desperation, this poor man, the desperation that he had, it's like, you know, George, we don't appreciate what a gift life is until
it's too late.
Exactly. Until it's too late. And if I could give the one piece of wisdom that I would give somebody if I was on my deathbed, it would be appreciate life, even challenges, even our problems, appreciate those. You know, people on their deathbed say their challenges, they wish they could have them back. They wish they could be back to have their problems.
You know, about a week ago, Jerry Lewis passed away at the age of 91. And I was thinking of Doc Wallach because Doc told me that he knew Jerry and he passed on information to Jerry about MD, muscular dystrophy, and things like that. But 91 is a pretty good run, isn't it?
91's a good run. He was a smoker, too. As I remember back in the day, he smoked. I'm sure he quit a long time ago, but he was a smoker. He had a history of heart problems. But that's a proof positive of the power of the life force, George. There are people who have heart transplants, and they make it to their 90s. Can you imagine this, a heart transplant? Can you imagine how unbelievable the intricacy and the intensity of the experience of a heart transplant, and the people live to be 91?
You know, how about the sad story, Ben, of that little boy last week who had a heart transplant, went to school for his first day, and he died?
Oh,
sad story.
That is a sad story. You know, heart transplants are very fascinating. People will acquire the personalities of the heart donor when they put the new heart in the recipient. Have you heard this?
I have.
Isn't that amazing?
I have.
The heart has a brain to it. Yeah. The heart has intelligence. We don't really understand the heart as well as we think we do.
There's emotion out of the heart, too.
Emotion,
you know that.
There's a communication between cells in the heart to the cells in the brain, to the emotional center of the brain. And what's more, the heart is if you look at any medical text and ask any layperson or any professional, they'll tell you the heart's a pump, right? No, the heart's not a pump. It doesn't even make sense to think that the heart is a pump. Although it may have a little bit of a pumping action, it's not responsible for the pumping of the blood through the circulatory system. There's no way it could happen that way. You have 60,000 miles of blood vessels, some of which are microscopic, and you've got a super thick fluid like blood. There's no way a heart can pump through all of that and then upwards on the return trip. What it is the heart is actually an energy field. It puts all the body's cells into the appropriate frequencies. It sets the frequency. It's like the pacemaker, and there is literally a pacemaker in the heart. It's a pacemaker. It's the conductor for the energy of the body, and that's the real issue with the heart. There's an organization called HeartMath. Have you heard of HeartMath?
Yes.
HeartMath talks about coherence. And the heart being a generator of coherent energy, and disease being incoherent. Disease is a chaotic state. Health is a coherent state. It's like the difference between a laser and a light bulb. Laser emits coherent light. A light bulb emits incoherent light, and obviously a laser is zillions of times more powerful. You can do all kinds of things with a laser. Likewise, in the body, nutrition harmonizes and provides coherent information, while drugs provide incoherent information. This is why the body has to get rid of drugs quickly. You know, when you take a prescription drug, the body sees that as poison. It has to get rid of that thing. In fact, your dosage is mandated to take into account what's called first pass effect, which is the near instantaneous transformation or elimination of the drug. So the drug companies have to adjust the dosage. When you take a vitamin, when you take a mineral, when you take one of the mighty 90 essential nutrients, not only is that not eliminated quickly, that's stored. That's retained because the body needs that. The body recognizes that. And when it's in the body, it's providing coherent energy where the drug you're taking is providing chaotic, incoherent energy. All our medical strategies, surgeries and ablations and chemotherapy and drugs, they generate incoherent energy into the body. They actually are a cause of disease from this level. You
know? I'm in St. Louis right now, Ben, and I've been away for 4.5 months, long time. And some of my friends came up to me earlier this week, and they hadn't seen me since I've been back. I came in to see the solar eclipse and, you know, and see my grandkids for a little bit, heading back in a couple weeks, right after the Labor Day week. But they said, we've never seen you look this good. What are you doing? And the only thing I'm really doing that's different is I've been on this supplementation program for a while.
And that's the beautiful thing about supplementation. You know, when we take calls and I get letters and I talk to people all the time, it's always about getting rid of a disease, you know, getting rid of an illness, which is understandable. People are suffering. They want solutions. But the real benefit for nutrition, nutrition is the long term. What happens over the course of time? You know, when you go to the gym, you might go the first time you go, you might look good, you know, temporarily, or you know, you might have a little muscle pump. But the real benefit of working out is over the course of the months and the years and the decades. Likewise with nutrition. Likewise with all good habits. The benefits accrue over time. They get better and better. And pretty soon, that's exactly what happens, George. Even if you're already healthy, people are saying, wow, you look really good. You look younger. You look like you have more energy, and you do have more energy.
You sure do. There's no question. Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com, and they've got a phone number set up to give you assistance. And I might as well give it to you. Write it down. Keep it. You don't have to call it tonight. You can if you want, but you can call anytime. 1-855-949-RADIO. It's that simple. 1-855-949-7234. In just a few minutes, we're going to start with phone calls with Ben Fuchs because he always gets so many. And you know what? Every time you're on, Ben or Doc Wallach, I get a handful of emails from people who you folks have helped. And I got to tell you, it is heartwarming to hear the stories from some of these people who truly have been helped by your advice.
To me, George, I can't even tell you how that makes a person feel. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And the beautiful thing is life is set up so the more we help people, the happier we are. How cool is that?
You got to do that. That's the name of the game. And have you ever had somebody come up to you, Ben, and simply say, thank God you do what you do.
You know, they do that all the time, and I try not to even go there.
How come?
Because I don't want it to be about me.
Good for you.
I don't want it to be about me. But, it's hard not to because I live for that, but I really try not to let that, because it's about the work. It's about really helping people and making a difference, and I don't want it to be about me.
So I just had a story about tuberculosis. I thought that was eradicated.
No, not eradicated, and antibiotic resistance is a big, big problem. I mean, we got all excited with antibiotics, understandably so in the 1930s, but you know what? It's turning out to be a big, big problem, antibiotic resistance. Bacteria, diseases that didn't exist are coming back. Bacteria are becoming super bacteria. Nothing's working on them. It's a major problem, and guess what, George? Even if you don't think you're taking antibiotics, you are. If you're drinking the tap water, or you're eating fish, or drinking milk, or getting dairy or meat, or we give antibiotics to livestock. It's in the water. It's everywhere. That's another hidden cause of health challenges, and another reason why we need to be supplementing today more than ever because of the toxicity in the environment. You know, sometimes you hear people say, "Well, my grandfather, he didn't supplement. He lived to be 90, or he had a great life. Mm-hmm. He was never sick." He wasn't living in the kind of toxic environment we are today. He wasn't subsisting on the kind of foods we are today. And your grandfather or grandparents were out chopping wood. They weren't living. They didn't have sedentary lifestyles where you sit at the computer all day or sit and watch TV when you come home at night. So today, more than ever, it is absolutely critical, critical, critical job number one. From a physical perspective, to make sure that you're eating correctly and you're using a nutritional supplement program. And that's that combination too, by the way, George. Supplement means supplement. The supplements give you the nutrients that should be in the food, but that aren't in the food. But you gotta have quality food. And that's always going to be the first thing.
Oh, absolutely. Ben, we'll come back and start with phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Ben Fuchs with us, criticalhealthnews.com. Special hello to MZ, owner of KSCO in Santa Cruz, California, our affiliate up that way. He does a great job with that station. And welcome back to Coast with Pharmacist Ben. They are, of course, from criticalhealthnews.com, sponsors and partners of our program. They've been doing that for a couple years. They love this audience. And Ben, I always like to point out when you or Doc is on, when you talk about supplementation, we're not talking cures because you can't say that. But it sure does make you feel better, doesn't it?
We don't talk cures. Cures are magic. I don't believe in magic. I'm a scientist. What I talk about is deconstructing the disease process, understanding it at its fundamental levels, and then addressing it at that from that perspective. And when you do that, you reverse disease. You do not cure it. Cures is in the realm of magic. Reversal is the realm of logic. This is science and logic. And I don't, and by the way, it's not about diseases, George. It's about restoring the body back to health.
Right.
I call this idea of diseases the tyranny of diagnosis. We become our diagnosis, and all of a sudden, how our body is responding individually is no longer important. What counts is our test scores. What counts is the pronouncement from the doctor whether we're diseased or whether we're cured or not diseased. And that's why they tell you there's no cures for diseases, because you can't cure a word, George. That's the problem. You can't cure a diagnosis, but you can reverse symptomology.
Why didn't I know this knowledge when I was 30? Because it sure would have done some great things for me at that age.
You know, I live and learn, buddy. It's a learning experience, George. That's how
Gosh,
it goes.
I mean, it could have avoided pitfalls and everything else.
I know. I wish I could have remembered. I wish I was a smart. You ever fantasize that you were as smart as you are now when you were 18 or 19 or 20 or something?
I'm probably dumber than I was at 18.
No,
or 19.
I
Let's take some calls. And by the way, Pharmacist Ben is with us next hour. He spends 2 hours with us, and we will take your calls next hour as well. So if you do not get on this half hour, what's left of it, we will have a full hour of calls with Pharmacist Ben, who truly is one remarkable individual. I know Ben personally. I've been doing TV shows with him. I've been to events with him. He is one heck of a human being. And bottom line with you, Ben, you care about people.
That's, George, that you hit the nail right on the head. And I have to say, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, it makes me feel good to do that. So I'm not like Mother Teresa. I'm not a saint. It makes me feel good to help other people, and I'm not unique in that. The system is set up, the world is set up, so we feel better when we're helpful. We secrete more oxytocin, we secrete more serotonin, we secrete more dopamine. All the neurochemistry of joy and happiness and fulfillment and success are upregulated. The neurochemistry is upregulated by giving, by caring, by loving. And I personally believe that the sickness crisis that we're suffering is really a caring and loving, a crisis of love, a crisis of self-love. Really, and that's really the foundation of everything, is self-love. Love God and then love self. And when you don't love yourself, that's really when we get out of ease. Dis-ease is really out of ease. And to me, it really begins with caring and loving for your fellow man, which in essence is caring and loving for yourself.
And I'm amazed, Ben, at how many people are just starting to become aware of taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely the case, because it was never really an issue until recently, until the last 100 years that we lived these long lives. You know, in the 1800s, people lived to be 30 or 40. Longevity and taking care of yourself wasn't really an issue. You know, in the Middle Ages, people lived to be 20. The life expectancy has jumped so much, and is nothing compared to what it could, that now we have considerations that we have to take into account. We got 70, 80, 90 years we could live. and be on this planet.
Realistically, how long do you think a human being can last if he doesn't get involved in an accident or something?
Realistically,
like that?
It's the way you know is by the people who've lived long lives, and there've been historically and up, you know, even today, there are people 120, 125 in the early part of their second century, 110, 105. There's plenty of people who live that long. If one person can do it, that means the body can do it.
Let's go to the phones. Pat in Anchorage, Alaska. Welcome to the program, Pat. You're on with Pharmacist Ben. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, George, I'm a utility worker in Anchorage, Alaska, and I just wanted to let you know we think about you all night long where we're keeping the utilities going. The truckers are the best, but you know what?
You guys are there.
Gas, electric, and water. Hey, Mr. Fuchs, I'd like to talk to you about the gallbladder with polyps.
Okay. You want to talk
and I have 2 millimeter, and I just wanted to know if there's a way of, if it creates the issue of reversing it, what caused it, and the cancerous.
And I got to ask you, Ben, a lot of people get their gallbladders removed, and I've heard from some people saying that might not be the smartest thing to do.
It's not a smart thing to do unless, George, there's pain, there's a stone. And sometimes the pain is pretty unspeakable. And so if you have an emergency, it's hard to tell somebody to keep their gallbladder when they're having that kind of pain. Pain takes over. You know, that's the primal thing. The body, when the body's in pain, it's sending you a major message. So shy of that or cancer, you want to keep your gallbladder. And there are things you could do like having a sound waves shot at your gallbladder to destroy the stones. If you can do that, that's an alternative. If you have to have your gallbladder, I have it out, but you're setting, unfortunately, the gallbladder is a very serious structure. Doctors do not appreciate how serious it is. There's hundreds of thousands of these things removed every year. The gallbladder is a bag of bile. And bile is perhaps the most underappreciated of all the fluids in the body. Bile is certainly the most underappreciated. It is absolutely vital for health. And when we're not healthy, particularly digestive health and liver health, when our livers, our intestine and our liver are not healthy, the bile will not be healthy. Bile not only is critical for digesting food, but bile is unbelievably important for detoxification, especially of drugs and especially of hormones. Between hormone detoxification, drug detoxification, and digestive functions, bile helps you break down fats. It's unspeakably important. But the thing about the bile is it recirculates. It's like STP engine oil treatment that's recirculating, and eventually it becomes sludgy and sticky. And when it becomes sludgy and sticky, it can clog up in little vessels inside the gallbladder. What can also happen is when it becomes sludgy and sticky is it can create irritations on the gallbladder, on the lining of the gallbladder. And when that happens, you can get polyps. Now, polyps are not a reason to have your gallbladder taken out. They can be precancerous, and there is cancer of the gallbladder, and you definitely want to be careful with that. I would be focusing on digestive health first and foremost. That means specifically health of how you digest fatty foods. The bile digests fatty foods. Use bile support. We have a wonderful product called the Ultimate Enzymes, which is basically bile support, and you don't have to have a gallbladder problem to benefit from the Ultimate Enzymes. Enzyme deficiency is a very, very big problem. That is digestive enzymes, and when you use our Ultimate Enzymes, not only are you getting digestive enzymes, but you're getting bile, literally bile. By the way, do you know where bile comes from or what bile is? It's a form of cholesterol, yet another reason why you don't want to be taking one of those nutcase statin drugs or suppressing your cholesterol artificially because you'll be suppressing bile production. Bile is cholesterol or a form of cholesterol.
Now, what creates the bile, though, the liver or the gallbladder?
Good question. The liver creates it, but it's stored in the gallbladder. When you eat a food, George, it goes down your esophagus into your stomach. The enzymes in your stomach start to grind it, start to react with it. The muscles of the stomach start to grind and crunch, and it turns it into a soupy mass. And from the stomach, the soupy mass drops into the intestine. And as soon as it hits the intestine, it gets a big hit of bile from the gallbladder. And a big hit of pancreatic enzymes. The digestive system's like a car wash. You ever see those car washes where your car goes in and the rollers come down and then
mm-hmm.
another squirt? That's kind of like the digestive system.
Of course.
As food's going down the pipe, so to speak, different brushes and different chemicals and different things are being squirted at it. And one of the most important squirts is the squirt of bile that comes into the intestine as soon as a food drops from the stomach into the intestine. That is critical because that's where fatty vitamins are released. That's where fatty nutrients are released. And so that squirt is extremely important. Now, if you don't have a gallbladder, you don't have that squirt. You get a little trickle from the liver, but you don't have that big squirt, which means now a big hunk of food is going into the intestine undigested. And your fatty vitamins, your vitamin A, your vitamin D, your vitamin E, your essential fatty acids, your minerals are not going to be absorbed into the intestine as effectively. And not only then will you have a gallbladder problem, but now you're going to have a malnourishment problem. So anybody who has a gallbladder taken out, make sure you're using our ultimate enzymes. You get that at criticalhealthnews.com. Make sure you're using fatty nutrients. Make sure you're on a mineral supplement like our Beyond Tangy Tangerine because you're running high risks for deficiencies. If you have a gallbladder problem, treat that as a food allergy problem or a food toxicity problem, and make sure you're using our ultimate enzymes, and make sure you're using fermented food because and probiotics like our Nightly Essence, because fermented foods and probiotics help detoxify bile. The probiotics in the intestine detoxify bile. So digestive health, George, is just unspeakably important. It's the key to everything.
It sure is. And you can get, of course, to Critical Health News even through your smartphone now. Just use your little web browser, and there you are. Arlene in Jacksonville, Florida, welcome to the show. Hello, Arlene. Go ahead.
Hi, Ben.
Hey there.
I wanted to ask your opinion of some supplements that have been proven very helpful in the treatment of diabetes and diabetic peripheral neuropathy.
Sure.
Alpha-lipoic acid is one of them, and
love that stuff.
It actually went through clinical trials at Mayo Clinic.
Love it. I'm a fan.
For the treatment of peripheral neuropathy.
Absolutely. Also liver health issues. And also chronic pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for blood sugar issues, too, as well. It's
Wonder
amazing.
Supplement. How about that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Great. I think it's great. I'm wondering, too, what you think of glucose tolerance factor chromium.
Chromium is very, very important. This is one of Dr. Wallach's greatest formulations, actually.
It's essential, isn't it?
Absolutely, for blood sugar and also for cholesterol and also for blood fats. And it's not found in very, very many foods, although interestingly, because it helps you this is how cool nature is, George. Check this out. Chromium is found in the sugar plant, and chromium is one of the most important blood glucose stabilizing nutrients there is, and it's found in the highest concentrations of the sugar beet and sugar cane. How cool is nature? How cool is the divine force? But the problem is we process it out, so deficiencies are very common. One of Dr. Wallach's greatest formulations, and I think one of the most important products we have at criticalhealthnews.com, is our Sweeties. Amazing for diabetics, and everybody should be using chromium, in my opinion, but especially diabetics. And you can get chromium vanadium in our Sweeties product.
And you folks are constantly looking at new things and new ways, aren't you?
All the time. My good friend Sanjeev Javia and Richard Renton over there at Longevity, they are always cranking out new formulations. I mean, the latest one is Beats. You've probably heard about
Beats. Oh, yeah. We've got a client, a Beats client. It's
super
Beats.
A superfood. Beets are a superfood, and they taste great.
They taste better powdered, let me tell you.
Oh, you don't like that? Do you not like beets?
Oh, no. Well, I like it in the powdered form with the super beets I take, but it comes in black cherry flavor. But just straight beets?
Oh, man, I love beets. They are so good.
Do you have pickled beets? Do you ever try that?
I've had pickled beets. I like the regular beets better. Pickling is kind of interesting, though. I like pickled foods, but the beets have that nice sweet taste. You don't like that?
I love the powdered form. Let's go to Terry in Los Angeles. Welcome to the show, Terry. Go ahead. Hi there, Terry.
Hi. First of all, George, I've got to ask you a question on the supplementation.
Mm-hmm.
You said that if folks couldn't afford it, that you would come up with a plan or something.
We are getting close to having the tax ID approved.
Wonderful.
Once that's done, we will kick off the campaign. Tom will be running it, and hopefully we'll raise enough funds to be able to help people.
Okay, wonderful. So I'll get right to my question. I have a neighbor who just had a baby 15 days ago. Baby was born, couldn't breathe.
Oh, geez.
They found out that there was a cyst in the back of the throat.
Oh, my goodness.
Of the baby? Oh,
yes.
How tragic.
Oh, my goodness.
They did an emergency trach.
Ah.
And the baby is still in ICU. Let me get my notes.
Getting better, I hope?
The oxygen level is fine. The MRI to check for brain damage is fine. But I'm concerned, you know, obviously
for pain. Can mom breastfeed?
The mother is not allowed to pick the baby up, so there has been no bonding.
Nothing yet.
So they've been talking to the baby, touching the baby, but because of all the tubes
the baby's all wired up, isn't it?
He's all wired up. He's got trachs. He's got tubes, and every which way.
You got to work on with mom. Mom needs to take care of things so that she can breastfeed when she can, and that's the way the baby's going to get nourished. And the whole bonding thing, you're absolutely right. There's, you know, failure to thrive is. Sometimes kids have this horrible thing called failure to thrive when they're not.
Ben, how can a baby be born with a cyst? How does that happen?
Babies develop inside the womb. They're responsive to the mother's environment, to the environment of the womb. They're responsive to nutritional deficiencies. This is what Doc means when he says there's no genetic diseases. There's no real genetic diseases in the sense that all when a gene is dysfunctional, it's because there's a nutritional component that was missing. Or there was some kind of toxicity inside the womb. So just because the genes are involved doesn't mean the genes are the cause. There are epigenetic or transcendent to gene factors, including nutrition, including stress hormone, including blood sugar, including insulin. There's all kinds of ways mother affects the baby. Even the thoughts of the mother affect the baby. Even the feelings of the mother affect the baby. So when babies who are born this way, this is just a tragic, tragic thing. This is why moms have to make so certain they're on a supplement program. Even doctors are aware of this. They'll give you prenatal vitamins. I would present that the prenatal vitamins are a drop in the bucket compared to what you need. But even the medical model understands the importance of nutritional supplementation at this critical time in a human being's life.
We used to supplement our kids with liquid vitamins all the time. All the time. I mean, my mother did it to me, and we did it to the little kids, to the two girls and the boy. And, you know, they were too small to swallow vitamins, or, you know, now they have these gummy vitamins. But, you know, I don't like to give them to kids because I'm paranoid of kids choking. That's one of my little phobias.
You know, kids need nutrients, need vitamins more than adults do. They're moving fast.
Yeah.
Their cells are dividing rapidly. They're in growth mode, especially brain nutrients for children.
Do you have liquid vitamins for kids?
Beyond Tangy Tangerine is a liquid vitamin. You just cut the dose. Beyond Tangy Tangerine is an epic product because it's a liquid.
Okay, because you can mix it with the water, you mean?
You cut it with water. You can adjust
yeah,
the dose.
Yeah, I take it in the tablet form. It's easier.
You take it in the tablet form. Yeah. I personally love the liquid.
Well, you know why? Because it's when I travel, and I travel so much, it's easy just to get your little pill little carton thing, a little plastic thing you get for a couple bucks, and
it's
you
handy.
Just fill it up with everything.
It's definitely handy.
You ever go to lunch with Doc Wallach?
With his 80 or
80 pills that he sits there with? That's his lunch.
I know. No, he eats. He's good. He definitely eats good, but he takes 80 or 90 with every meal.
The website is criticalhealthnews.com, and again, the phone number to call people. There are humans on the other side of the phone to give you the same advice if you can't get through to talk to pharmacist Ben now. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. How long are you going to keep doing this, Ben? You're not going to retire, are you?
Until I can't talk anymore. And by the way, George, if people can't get through, I know the lines get full.
They get busy. They get busy.
Everybody can send, you can all send letters to health@criticalhealthnews.com. We respond to letters. We get tons of letters anyway, so please feel free to send a letter to health@criticalhealthnews.com, and somebody will get back to you. We do get a little swamped, I will say, after we do a program, so be a little patient with us. But we love hearing from folks, and we get all kinds of great letters. And you know, George, you got some really, really smart listeners.
Oh my God, they are smart. They are as smart as they come.
Smart as they come.
And if you're not ready, they'll get you. They'll catch you.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. They will. We've addressed that here and there. But I love people who are so interested in their health that they're willing to take the time out to write a letter.
All right, Ben, we're going to take this quick break. We'll be back at the top of the hour with one final hour to go of calls with you as we talk about your health. Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com.